is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right. Hour number two starts right now with Way Back Wednesday. Easily. Now coming at you with the best list of the three.
Great list.
Fantastic.
Now, this is a great song.
Outstanding.
Can't go wrong with Marvin Gaye. I don't care what anyone says.
Lots of good ones. So I have hour number two.
Have you heard the acapella of this?
I think you brought it up on the show before.
Yeah, we brought it up on the show. I think we might have played where it's just everything was dropped out except
unbelievable.
For his vocals.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah,
that dude, one of the best voices in the history of music.
No doubt about it. So
somebody texted the show and said, "Would it be hilarious if the Texans traded Clowney to the Seahawks for Dwayne Brown?"
I actually thought about that, and yeah, and would it change things if Mr. McNair was no longer alive?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I know he was pretty bitter when he left.
Somebody said on text line, no way Miami gives up a 10-year starting left tackle when they're so hard to find. Look, Tunsil's good. I don't know if you're giving him enough credit or if you're giving him too much credit
right.
for how good he really is. He's definitely a starting left tackle, and he'll be around for a while, but I don't know if he's, you know, an all-world left tackle. He's good, but he's definitely
good. And
it's
hard to judge a guy when you're on a very mediocre team with not a lot of talent around
yeah.
you. But I'm sure that if you put that guy on a very mediocre line with not a lot of talent around you,
he's going to look like
he would shine.
Yeah. Somebody said number one show in H-Town. Glad you're back, Barry. Was listening yesterday to Jim Adler and the Stoner. No way.
I'm the Stoner. He's Jim Adler.
Oh, I was going to. Really? What? Is that how that worked?
That's what he's trying to say.
I'll be darned.
I didn't pick up what he was putting down.
Yeah. That went right over my head.
So.
I get you mucho dinero, senorita. Hammer him.
So
big, big hammer.
That's my favorite one. Big, big hammer. That is definitely my favorite one.
Do you guys remember the video of Laramie Tunsil when was published while he was being drafted? It was actually
slid.
And that's why he slid. But did you see that bong that he had in the video?
God.
I was
attached to a gas mask.
It was amazing.
Oh.
Yeah, because I was talking to Barry in the break. I was trying to remember one lineman slid because of the bong. Then Lyle Collins, who later was drafted by the Cowboys, slid because his ex-girlfriend was murdered. And at the time of the draft, he was being considered as a suspect, later cleared. But teams were staying away from him for the obvious reasons of if he was considered a suspect, they didn't want to draft a guy and then not ever have him play for them. And both guys slid for different reasons. But, yeah, Collins was definitely one of those guys. He was one with the monster bong.
Tunsil.
I'm sorry.
Tunsil was the bong.
And Collins
attached
was the one
mask,
with the
And that thing was massive, like you said.
It was massive. He just got screwed because that video was actually already 1 or 2, maybe even 3 months old. It just happened to be published while the draft was going on, and that's why he slipped.
But, I mean, still, 13th in the first round, he's doing all right.
Oh, yeah.
And he got to experience that big-ass bong. That looked fun. The gas mask, the eyes were all full of smoke. I was like, man.
He had like a little, like a knob on the side of it that you could adjust.
Living his best life right there.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, there were other suggestions out there. People were talking about getting one of Detroit's running backs and a second or a third round pick, if that's something that they would consider. But I don't think he wants to go to Detroit, you know. And like I said, and Aaron Wilson said his two cities of choice would be Seattle and or Philadelphia. I don't know what he feels like because we had talked about yesterday that he had liked and made some kind of indications on social media that Washington would be okay with him too. Again, because Washington has two players that you could plug and play right away.
Yeah.
In a left tackle and a running back in Adrian Peterson, that's something that seems like it would make a lot of sense. But Washington's staunch on the fact that they're not making any trades for their left tackle. So we'll see what happens.
As the world turns. I looked up Dallas Keuchel's stats, if you're curious, and Jason Aber sent them to us. But damn near identical to what they were last year when you look at the stuff that can be measured. His ERA, almost identical. WHIP, exactly the same as what he ended with last year. So,
what about his first inning bonfires?
That I don't know. I'd have to go look up his inning by inning. But 3.78 ERA, 1.31 WHIP. Last year he finished with a 3.74 and a 1.31. So,
okay.
His WAR's down, but that's, you know, he hasn't played as many games. He's only pitched in 13. But you know, he's 5-5 with a 3.78 ERA. So, good job, Astros. Good call on not giving him crazy money. Actually, good call, baseball,
mm-hmm.
on not giving Dallas Keuchel crazy money.
Well, yeah, and you know, and the thing is, good call on letting Dallas walk. In
bad
retrospect,
call on letting Charlie Morton walk.
Bad call on Charlie Morton is where
but
I was going.
But you get it, though. In both cases, I understand. I understand why Charlie Morton was going to cost. Both of them were going to cost you more than you wanted to spend based on what you thought you would get in return. Morton had the injury at the end of the season that wasn't good. Didn't he have surgery or whatever? So, or he had something wrong with his shoulder.
He didn't have surgery, but he had shoulder issues towards the end of last season.
Yeah, so I get it. And Charlie Morton hadn't been consistent. You know, and Dallas Keuchel had been a little up and down. I still think Dallas was a lot more consistent through the years. He had the one really bad year, but Charlie Morton had never been the Charlie Morton that we saw when he got here, up until he got here. So you didn't know if you could trust him.
No, right. And again, you could go back and forth because I was talking to Lisa about this watching the game last night and saying, look, good on the Astros for finding Charlie Morton. When we all were like, what the hell do we need him for when they have what they have? And then they found out, boy, did they ever need Charlie Morton, and what a find he was. Just like you can say, hey, you found Wade Miley, and he's been outstanding. So more wins than losses if you're Jeff Luhnow. But again, sometimes you guess right and sometimes you guess wrong.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see.
I was looking at Morton's numbers, his ERA. He had one really good year where he only had 20 games started. He had a 3.26 ERA. But other than that, it was all mostly fours. Had a 7 thrown in there somewhere. So Charlie Morton wasn't outstanding until he got to the Astros. He had a 3.62 and a 3.13 in this 2 years here, ERA. And then this year he obviously got the 3.11 and was vying for a Cy Young. None no more. That's over with.
Yeah, that's it. And I was reading an article yesterday before they took the mound last night that said, look, it's a two-horse race for Cy Young in the American League.
Absolutely.
And they're both on the Houston Astros. And when we go back to some of the key stats, when you look at the fact that four of the top five pitchers in the American League right now are either Astros or ex-Astros. When you talk about both Verlander and Cole, then you add Morton, Miley, whose ERA is outstanding, uh-huh. and he's got a good win-loss total. Those four guys alone, that should tell you all you need to know about whether it's Brent Strom alone or not, but give him a lot of credit. But because of the Astros' touch and the fact that you look at where these guys were before they got to Houston, it's pretty impressive.
Did you see the story about the minor leaguer whose wife,
child and mother-in-law
were all
killed by his brother-in-law?
Yeah, and which is awful.
Terrible.
What made it worse, though, is the video that came out of him running around the neighborhood completely naked.
Yep.
And he runs at a cop, and the cop runs from him. Now, I mean, look, if you're going to have a rule that you don't fight naked dudes, I think that's a good rule to have. I mean, I've heard other people talking about this. That's probably a rule I've never really had to write down and make one. But I feel like if Joel jumped up right now and was like, let's do this, and just stripped naked and tried to fight me, I don't want to fight him. Not with his penis out.
I would agree with that sentiment.
But you're a cop with a gun. Shoot him in the penis.
Well,
it's right there.
Or you got the barrel and just pop him one or something. It's going to kind of stifle him a little bit.
Little nut tap.
Right.
He's pepper spraying him as he runs away from him. And the guy is going naked zombie.
First of all, the guy's 80 years old. He looks
like the cop?
The one cop, the first cop that I saw.
The one that was running from him.
Is 80.
He had an assault rifle on him.
Had a rifle around one shoulder, but tried to whip him with a little whip on the other one. And then the guy takes off running, and it's like suddenly it's like the worst race in the history of mankind. The naked guy's like 100 yards in front of him, and he's like,
No, you missed a spot. You missed the thing where – so he chases the cop. The cop runs from him with his arm out trying to pepper spray him as he flees the naked man. First of all, you're a cop.
Right.
Turn around, tackle this dude, handcuff him. In fact, I would handcuff his – probably I would squeeze his penis inside one of the handcuffs with his hand. I would make it all like weird. You're going to be handcuffed. Now you got three things in there. You got one hand on one side and then a hand and a penis on the other. Now how you feel? Come at me naked again. See what happens. But then he goes to some like random churches where he was running at. And some guy is coming out of the church, and he grabs the guy and starts going zombie style, trying to choke the man. And the man's like, what is going on? There's this naked zombie guy attacking me, and he doesn't do anything. Now, that guy was older, too, but I'm like, guys, what are you... He's naked. Just knee him in the balls, and this is over with.
But that's the natural instinct of a dude. Have you seen that YouTube channel?
I would have uppercut that dude in the chin. I would have fought the head. Listen.
All you got to do is just kick him in the jimmy.
That's what I said. Knee him in the balls. They're right there. There's no... They're just... That's that.
The fact that he was apprehended once the dog got involved.
Well, that was the funny part is he goes running down the street and the old cop that was scared of him is kind of half-ass chasing him. He's like, hey, come, you better come back here. You better not run to those other cops that are down there. Okay. You, I guess it was a slow chase. It was like, bro, you could have caught him because he was naked and slow. But then he runs into like two policemen and a dog. And they handled it the right way immediately. They tackled the dude. The dog jumps on him, which I hope he got bit. I really hope he got bit in the penis.
I hope so, too.
I hope the dog was like, oh, look, a bone. And the guy's like, stop.
But I think the bigger problem is that everybody that didn't know the backstory was just enjoying the hell out of what looked like a humorous chase.
Yeah, that's
and then when you find out the backstory and find out a double-A baseball player who wasn't home lost his wife, his child, and his mother-in-law because his 19-year-old brother-in-law, regardless of, I don't know what the reasoning was behind it,
bath
just went
salts.
Nuts.
Had to be bath salts.
Drugs, I don't know what it was, but he went off the deep end.
I just don't know how you let a naked man.
There's this YouTube channel, this group of dudes.
I hope that dude loses his job.
I used to watch them all the time, and what they would do is they would go to like really bad parts of town and pick fights. And right when the guy gets aggravated enough, he would just take off all his clothes. And then that really, like, this guy could be an absolute gangster, and he would just run. He would just run right when the guy took his clothes off. See? Because he's like, one guy had a gun, pulled out the gun. The second the guy took his clothes off, they all ran away. And he had the gun. He could have shot him. But that's like the natural instinct of a dude that we don't want to fight no naked man.
Look, but if you come up and start choking me.
What if you go for a takedown in your head?
I'm not going north-south on him.
I'm just saying. Oh, man.
I'm not going north-south. There's not going to be no knee on belly. But when he's got his both arms were extended trying to choke that old man around the neck.
Proper tackling
just
technique.
Uppercut that dude. If both arms are around your neck, guess what? Both hands are occupied. Uppercut that dude. Knee him in the balls. Down goes Frazier. Stomp his face a little bit. And then get that chicken bleep cop over here to arrest him.
Why don't you go,
no, go
proper
right
tackling technique? Head to the side.
No.
Drive with the shoulder.
No, nothing
below.
Next
thing you know, you got grapes on your cheek.
Nothing waist level. Nothing waist level. If I'm going takedown, I'm going to try to sweep the leg, double drop kick, rock and roll express style. That's a nice distance away.
You want rock and roll express for your energy needs? I'm telling you right now, the rock and roll express to saving money and dealing with a local company is Infuse Energy. Because Infuse Energy is here in the Houston area to better suit you and serve you in terms of all of your energy needs, whether it be for business or for pleasure. Josh Pesikoff and his staff are going to make sure that they take care of you. They're going to ask you questions. Find out when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, nights, weekends, whatever it is, till they pinpoint the best rate and the best deal they can possibly get you. And in the process of doing all of that, if you mention ESPN 97.5 when you're talking to them, you're going to save $25 right off the top. And as they continue to talk to you, you're going to realize that they are focused on making sure that they take care of you and the people of Houston. And they're not going to be like the big energy companies that have automated systems and just want you to sign on the dotted line and then they forget you ever existed in the first place. I switched about 3 years ago. I just re-upped with them because they've saved me thousands over my previous bills with my previous energy provider, and they make sure that they are in constant communication. If you ever have a question, they also send you weekly emails to find out what your energy usage has been like this month as it relates to last month and last year. It's fantastic stuff, and it's all because they care. They got a 5 out of 5 rating by the PUCT of Texas. That means that they take care of you at the top level, and that's what you want when you're dealing with any company. So check them out, because I'm telling you, they're going to take care of you. You can go to infuseenergy.com or 844-INFUSE2 is their phone number, 844-463-8732. Either way, understand that it's going to be affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through. Hour number two. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Spanning the globe to give you the best in sports and entertainment coverage.
Spanning the globe.
The thrill of victory.
Agony of defeat.
Or the agony of Delaney when you're wandering around naked and being chased. That's the thing, though, in the video. The first deputy to go towards him, this guy, like you said, with the rifle on one shoulder, he has some kind of a whip.
I didn't see that part.
And when he goes at the guy that's the innocent bystander on his cell phone, who, by the way, didn't want to get off the phone when the naked guy tried to, like, put his arms around
man,
his grip.
Man, I'm like, babe, I gotta call you back.
Right?
There's a naked man and his penis coming at me. We're gonna have to pick this up later.
So while he's trying to break free from the naked guy, the deputy shows up again. Instead of grabbing said rifle over shoulder, he takes like a whip and
I think that was a nightstick or like a.
No, you need to look at it again. It looks like.
Well, they have those batons, those metal batons.
It looked like a rope.
Really?
Yeah, it looked like it just didn't.
Well, now I got to Google naked man attacks a cop, and it's probably going to take me to Nick's homepage.
Could take you to happy.
There's probably so many instances of that in Las Vegas, probably.
Probably, right? It's like Google. We found 97 pages worth of naked man attacks a cop.
Because, like, I saw 10 different versions of the video being put out there, and every single one of them had no clue the backstory on what actually happened either before they started making total fun of it. Because it's just the flip side of it, I put it myself in the baseball player's shoes going, could I imagine, and my mother-in-law's in town right now. Oh. But, like, you know, you think about it going, I went to work, and all of a sudden, my entire family in the house got wiped out. That's just got to be absolutely excruciating.
Yeah, just tragic, man.
So that one was – and by the way, we were talking about Jordan when we were talking about the Astros and his two home runs. But now, as Buster Olney put out there, in his first 60 games in the big leagues, he has 40 extra base hits. He scored 40 runs. He has 62 ribbies in those 60 games, 35 walks, a .420 on-base percentage, and a 1.123 OPS.
It's pretty good.
He has more RBIs already than any other rookie in the league. He has to win Rookie of the Year, right?
No, there's no doubt. It's going to take a monumental collapse on his part. You know, he cooled off a little bit, but yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that he's the American League Rookie of the Year.
And, I mean, and even Alonso, cooling off, he's hitting over .300.
Yeah. Yeah, and Pete Alonso out there in New York has pretty much sewn up nationally.
Especially with Tatis Jr. going out for the rest of the year.
What is he hit another one last night now, 42?
Yeah.
New Mets record. Not rookie record. New Mets record for home runs from anybody.
Well, you flip it. So not just a new Mets record, but a new rookie record.
No, I'm saying he broke the Mets single season home run record.
Right.
Not just for rookies, for all Mets.
Yeah, not Mets rookies. Yeah, but he's also on track to beat.
Why are you?
Because the way you said it sounded like you were reversing it, but I get what you're saying. But he's also going to probably, he's on pace to be the all-time rookie home run leader. He's got to track down Judge.
Oh, yeah. For rookies. I'm just talking about for the Mets alone.
Yeah. So those should be your American League and National League Rookies of the Year.
Which would make two in the last 4 years?
Yeah,
for the Astros?
Because
Correa was 2015.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Bregman didn't win it.
No. Right. No. He scuffled a little bit out of the gate.
Get out of the gate, right, yeah.
But so, not too shabby.
No. Uh-oh. So,
yeah, Correa, 2015 Rookie of the Year. That's what it was.
And the other thing, when you look at it, that people are still not even thinking about is, since the All-Star break, DeGrom and Syndergaard are the best 1-2 combination in the National League.
That's crazy.
So maybe
Mets are what? I think I saw 3 games out. Let me confirm
that.
They're
still hanging around.
I thought I saw when I checked last that they were 3 out, and that's not far. I mean, you know, teams like the Red Sox and whatnot are probably out of the mix now. Because I think the Red Sox are 6 back. Let's see here. Wild card. Yeah, Red Sox are 6 back. Rays are 1 back. Oakland and the Indians right now are the 2 wild cards in the American League. National League, the Nats and the Cubs are the wild card, and Philly's 2 back. Mets are 3 back. Yeah. Brewers are 3.5 back.
Speaking of...
Diamondbacks are 4 back.
The Brewers.
Yeah.
So the body issue comes out.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So Christian Yelich, the reigning National League at most valuable player,
okay,
is in the issue.
Is he hot? Would you do it?
I haven't You'd seen the issue.
You'd hit it because he's a Brewer.
I haven't seen the issue.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So I don't know how you like the head on your beer, but I haven't looked at anything that the Brewers have in the issue. However, we know that he is in the issue, right? So there was someone on Twitter by the name of Roxanne who decided to basically chastise him for... Okay, you didn't have to show me the pictures. Roxanne on Twitter comes out and basically kind of chastises him because of the fact that he went out... she basically said, and I'm paraphrasing, but you should have been smart enough to think about the small children and kids that were going to see these pictures before you went and posed nude and did all these other things. So he first tweets, like the Aaron Rodgers tweet of a few years ago, he relax, Roxanne.
Yeah.
But then to cap it off the right way, changed his walk-up music to Roxanne by the Police last night.
Nice.
Very well done. Yeah. And now they've drawn up T-shirts, much like we've got Running Game here in Houston that can get the T-shirts done quickly. They now have a T-shirt that says, Christian says, relax, Roxanne, and has his silhouette of his pose in Milwaukee.
That's great. Yeah, yeah. Roxanne, you prude, shut up.
Yeah, because just like I was reading the tweet going, did she really?
Think about the kids. If you let your kids see that, then you're an awful parent. By the way, I don't know if you know this, Roxanne, but there's a lot worse on the internet that your kids probably see every single day. So stop being a prude.
Yeah, and Yelich showing a little personality there, so that was good. Especially when you needed some, because they're not so good right now.
Did this move your needle, the picture that I showed you?
Did it
do anything for
you? I don't know what you're doing with your needle, but no.
No, it didn't? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, the NFL season's about to kick off. You guys know what that means, right? What? It's time to get paid. Time to bet, win, and get paid at mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag, y'all, it has more odds and more prop bets than any sports book out there. There's no reason to go anywhere else that absolutely nobody pays you faster. You get your cash when you want it, and I cannot stress to you how important that is when you're finding a place to place your wagers. Man, check out mybookie.ag. If you sign up now, they'll double your first deposit. That is up to $1,000 in free money, so you can bet on your favorite teams. But don't just bet on your favorite. Bet smart. Now, I know you like your favorite teams, but bet smart when you do it, because I want you to be able to win and get that money. And obviously, you're going to do that at MyBookie. And if you want more, how about $100,000 more? You can win that at MyBookie's first ever NFL handicapping super contest. You win that and the $100,000, it's all yours. Don't play at a no-name sports book. Bet with the best. And the best is mybookie.ag. And if you use that promo code radio, you're going to get that exclusive double your money offer. Like I said, up to $1,000 in free money. Dude, we all love free money. We've established that. So go check them out right now. That's mybookie.ag. Promo code radio. You play, you win, you get paid at mybookie.ag.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show, The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. You know how we do it around here. We give back to the suspects. Well, hint, hint, there'll be opportunities for us to give back to suspects that come out and see us this Friday at Nick's place, as we will be on location. And as we told you leading up to the listener appreciation party, if and when you become suspects and you listen and you can put two and two together and get an obvious answer, you can find out that there are going to be opportunities for you to get things that you want. Things that have been sought after. Things that have been talked about. Maybe the T-shirts.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't want a line at Nick's place.
You really think there's going to be a line?
No, she came in yesterday. She was talking strategy with us because we were a little concerned because I don't know how big the order is, but they want to make sure that everybody gets a chance to get them.
I think we'll be fine.
Big Nick's got an appearance on Saturday.
I love that you guys are way overshooting our popularity.
Oh, stop it,
that
AJ.
That makes me feel a lot better.
Okay, AJ, take it easy.
I don't think there's going to be a line for us.
No, I want to make sure all of our loyal suspects...
Oh, well, we'll have enough for...
We'll get them.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
Right?
We will have
Clarence,
enough.
We're looking for Triple X. So.
Oh, now you see, you didn't need to...
You were the guy that had all the ins, though, so...
Okay.
By the way, what is
Nick's appearance? What are you doing,
Saturday.
Nicholas?
Big Nick.
Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Oh, was that the list that was? Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Webster?
I don't think so.
More Homecoming?
I believe it's closer to your hood.
Is it?
I believe so.
Shenandoah?
No, it's not that one because I grabbed that one off the list real quick.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Of course.
So I did find the actual tweet that Roxanne had put out. Not surprisingly, now her account is locked. It's private because I'm sure she got blasted. But she said, Christian Yelich, it's really sad how you didn't give a thought about all the young kids that idolized you before you did your little naked photo shoot. Distasteful.
Yeah, really. Didn't you say she was a Trump supporter?
And she's a Trump supporter.
Oh, well. Yeah, I would hate if somebody like the first lady did a naked photo shoot. That would be awful, right? God, could you imagine? A couple things from the text line. So Dimitri has said, rest in peace to Jessie Combs. She died trying to set a world speed record. Very sad. I enjoyed watching her do her car builds on TV. She was in a jet car thing that crashed and died trying to set a new record. And yeah, so rest in peace. What was your favorite Jessie Combs moment, Joel?
I couldn't tell you because I didn't know who the heck she was.
All right. Well, I tried to.
No, this one I got to be.
You like this one? I got nothing.
I was just going to be like.
Should be that time that she won that thing when she did that one record.
I was going to use a term that I'm glad I didn't use, but I was just being as completely honest as I could be.
Don't disparage a dead woman.
No.
All right. I might be late, but did y'all discuss Kobe and Shaq's beef? That's from White Magic. I didn't realize it had happened. I've been out of touch a little bit, but you said they had a few words. They exchanged words.
Well, indirectly through the media, because, you know, and they've squashed what beef they've had in the past. They actually sat down and did an interview. They were able to be honest and open and let bygones be bygones, so to speak. But then Kobe was doing an interview in which he said that the Lakers would have won 12 championships and Shaq would be the greatest of all time if he had been in the gym. Kobe said, I would have had 12 effing rings.
Wow.
He was doing the interview, I guess it's Patrick Bet David, in an interview that he did. And so everybody thought it was just going to come out. Kobe's going to say what he said, let it go. Nope, because Shaq responded via Instagram and said, you would have had 12 rings if you'd have passed the ball more, especially in the finals against the Pistons. Hashtag facts. You don't get statues by not working hard. And he put a picture of his statue at the Staples Center. So, feud back on.
Wow.
I mean, look.
I feel like for Shaq, it's just because he feels like, all right, we talked it out. We squashed this, and now this is being brought back up because he sees it in the headline.
Why did he think he would be able to go unscathed by saying something? And I mean Kobe. Why did he think that it would be a good idea? Was he joking and it didn't come across that way? Because, you know, okay, let me rephrase this. If you look at what Barkley and Shaq do on the broadcast on TNT, they go at each other. I mean, you and I go at each other. Nick and I go at each other. Mm-hmm. But you know that there's a certain – it's nothing is meant by it, right? Like we all – at the end of the day, you know that Kobe – that Shaq and Barkley, they may get on each other's nerves, but they're boys. They're friends.
But this is different.
This whole, because this always goes back to Kobe on my ass taste and all that.
Right.
Right? Like this goes all the way back to that when the breakup wasn't pretty.
No, but even when they were going through this, people said they had one of the greatest rosters, But the fact of the matter was, even especially in that series, media said that they could sit outside the locker room in games that they won during the finals, and the shouting and the cussing at each other and the fighting in that room was so loud that Jackson couldn't make up excuses to cover up for the fact that they had a team that hated each other.
Yeah.
Can see where it's coming from. And then obviously after they both walked away from the game, it took years before they could actually kind of find a delicate balance to say, okay, let's squash this.
There goes that.
And now it's right back on again.
Well, that's the thing. You wonder, does Kobe have to come out and clarify, hey, I was just joking. I was meant to be sarcastic. But Kobe's got an ego too.
And the interview was conducted at a convention. Like the interview, that the name that he referenced, I forgot his name. He did it at a Las Vegas convention. So I'm assuming there was a lot of people there. I don't know if he was just like in the moment. And he was like, well, I'm already this far. But I mean, there was an expletive, according to the quote. There was an expletive.
Oh, no doubt. He said I'd have had 12 effing rings, for sure.
So maybe he was determined to say that. I don't know.
Okay. Well, so I just happened to do a quick Googles.
Okay.
And Kobe Bryant tweeted out today at 10:56 a.m.
Right.
There is no beef with Shaq. I know most media want to see it, but it ain't going to happen. And ain't nothing but love there, and we too old to beef anyway. Hashtag threepeat. So, again, it sounds like there was this tongue-in-cheek. It's like, you know, when you and I mess with each other, it's, you know, like, I'm going to take Barry's job. There's no way you're going to come on and say on air and actually mean that you want to take my job. But we joke about it. And so I think that maybe Kobe is right in this case, that maybe he was joking. And, you know, you don't know if Shaq was joking.
I was going to say, this holds more credence to the fact that you can tell Charles legitimately gets under Shaq's skin sometimes, and he gets sensitive. And you can see it. He can cover it up all he wants, but you can see it. So I don't know if Kobe – I think there was some truth to what Kobe was saying too, because he's always felt that way. But at the same time, because they squashed all their beefs before, I think they can get over this.
So listen to this. He said where to go? Bryant said he could have had rings and that O'Neal would be the greatest had he spent more time in the gym. Mm-hmm. He'd be the greatest of all time for sure. He'd be the first to tell you that. This guy was a force like I have never seen. It was crazy. A guy at that size, generally guys at that size are a little timid and they don't want to be tall. They don't want to be big. Man, this dude was, he did not care. He was mean. He was nasty. He was competitive. He was vindictive. He was, I wish he was in the gym. I would have had bleeping 12 rings. That doesn't sound like a guy that's blatantly talking crap about another person. That to me sounds like, man, he was so good. If he would have put in more effort, he would have been even better.
But this is like reality TV.
That's not trash talk to me.
This is like reality TV producers.
But that's not trash talk to me, though. I totally agree that got blown out of proportion.
That's what I was going to say. Reality TV producers, you can say something in the context of a long paragraph or a quote, and if they could pick out the right quote for television, it sounds like you just completely bashed someone else. But, you know, the other thing is Kobe's never been shy about the fact that he felt like if Shaq put more into it, they would have gotten more out of it. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at Shaq's reply to Kobe's tweet. I just saw it. So Kobe tweets out, there is no beef with – he tagged Shaq, at Shaq.
Okay.
I know most media want to see it, but it ain't going to happen. Ain't nothing but love there, and we too old to beef anyway. Hashtag threepeat. Shaq quote tweets him and says, it's all good, bro. When I saw the interview, I thought you were talking about Dwight. Is that how you spell his name? You spelled it wrong. LOL. That's funny. And again, I think people wanted this to be more than it was. That's pretty funny, though.
And we know how social media is, too. But I'll say this, because like I was getting to, as much as Kobe says he's kidding, and Kobe kids around about it, too, he's never been shy about saying that he thought that and he wants all of his teammates, like Dwight. He wants all of his teammates. He wanted them all to have the work ethic he had. It just wasn't possible. But he has that kind of drive like Tiger Woods. And so I found this article that came out. He did a podcast, too, with the longtime NBA photographer that also has a podcast, Andrew Bernstein. And they were talking about different things. Gary Vitti did the interview with Andrew Bernstein. And Gary Vitti was a longtime trainer of the Lakers. And they were talking about how Kobe's different, right? And he was saying that he was once hanging out with Navy SEALs, and he said he wanted to see what all the hullabaloo was about with being waterboarded. And he wanted the Navy SEALs to waterboard him. In one discussion, and they were like, no, you don't. And he's like, yeah, I do. And so he was interested in that. Then they were on the plane one time, and he gets Vitti, And he said, and he gives him the DVD, and he says, "Dude, you got to watch this." And Vitti said, "What is it?" And he said, "It's a movie called Saw, and I can do it." And Vitti's like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "You got to watch the clip." And he shows him the it's called the reverse bear claw. So essentially, in the movie Saw, it's a reverse bear trap, and it's, what it is the clamps, instead of closed, they open, and you have this thing on your head, and the clamps are in your mouth. One on the upper jaw, one on the lower jaw, and it's locked on your head. You can't get it off unless you have a key to the lock. The key has been surgically embedded behind your eyeball. So the only way that you can get out of it is you're left with a scalpel, and if you can cut your eye out to get the key, you can get out of it. And Kobe looks at Vitti and says, "I can do it. I can do it. I definitely can get out of it."
That's crazy.
Psychotic.
Yeah, that's creepy. Now, question is, could you do it?
Are you kidding me? They said if you go to cut your eye out to get the key, and if you don't, the thing will come off your head. If you do it wrong and the timer goes off, the reverse bear trap is released, and it basically tears your skull apart by opening up your mouth and then your whole head. Who even thinks about, "I can do it"?
Yeah, that's insane. I would never even consider.
You wouldn't cut your eye out to save your life?
No. No, sir.
You'd just die?
Yeah.
That's unreal.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it.
Waterboarding is one thing, which is insane, but that whole thing right there?
That's creepy.
Adler, maybe. He only has one eye anyway, right, Joel?
I was thinking more about my dog that only has one eye, but...
Wait, you have one-eyed dog and the three-legged dog?
Same dog.
It's the same dog, remember?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and he's fantastic.
Damn, I forgot about that.
Yeah, Bobo's fantastic.
That's a tough-ass dog.
Talk about a dog that loves life now.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. He's like, "Yeah, that's fine.
Yep.
You can have half my tongue, all that. I'm alive. I'm happy."
I don't think Bobo would be in for this reverse bear claw. Dog.
No, hell no.
Jeez.
Hey, just a quick note. Miami Dolphins. Colts, the Indianapolis Colts are looking at a former Miami Dolphin to back up Jacoby Brissett. Go ahead and put the division in the bag because they're bringing in Brock Osweiler and giving him a look.
I thought you were going to do a professional radio team.
Nah, giving him a look. Right, nah, this is not something I want to discuss. So yeah. I just said it. We're done. We don't have to discuss
it anymore.
It's
possible Brock stops there.
Yeah.
All right. We'll continue to roll on. It's hour number two of the 3-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Wrapping up hour number two, 3-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a way back Wednesday. Pretty much over.
Is this a breakup song? This is a Sorry You Passed Away song.
Yeah.
This is, yeah, you got to use the microphone. That's how the radio works.
How many times have you been on with us? And how many times have you been on radio, period? Like in the hundreds or?
Hundreds.
Yeah. And when are we going to learn to use a microphone?
Maybe next time.
Welcome to the show.
That means you have to invite me again.
Yes.
Courtney Bell's with us. She is the self-proclaimed queen of the suspects.
Not self-proclaimed.
In fantasy
she
football.
Is. What other queen
you
of the suspects is there?
A kiss ass.
Huh?
Well, you really are.
I'm just saying.
No, that's called BFF.
That's right. See?
Don't let me tell you what that stands for. But okay. So we got a lot
means.
Going on. We've already told
means.
The peeps we're going to be at Nick's place on Friday.
Yes. And speaking of that, somebody texted the show and says, "Wait, I just tuned in and caught the tail end of that conversation. Y'all are going to be at Nick's. Please restate the day so I can get the next day off so I can booze it up." God, I hope that wasn't Crystal Collins, because the last time I was at Nick's and she was there, I drank way too much Crown because of her. So there's going to be none of that.
And she pulled her tank top out and stuck Granado's head under it.
I didn't know where that was going.
Yeah.
She did, though.
She did.
She absolutely did that.
I'm keeping it professional.
Thank you. Yeah, but we will be there Friday.
In fact,
who all is there Friday, Courtney?
So everyone but the Blitz.
Blitz is going somewhere else.
They are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Too good to hang out with us?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
I guess.
That figures. Yeah. Sounds about right. They're bougie.
AJ always hates it when he sees how many people love us.
They're
bougie. With that being said, with your self-proclaimed idea that we should have a Suspects t-shirt, it's come to fruition.
See, don't start it, Joel.
Did you bring it in here?
I did, yes.
What?
Dun, so you're dun. Showing it to the Twitch feed right now.
That's right. If you're on the Twitch feed, you can see the usual Suspects t-shirt. I put a lot of work into that, trying to get Joel's slimmed up for it and photoshopping out Nick's horn. A lot of work went into this. Yep. There's the back.
Very cool.
What up, H-Town?
Yep.
Looking nice.
Yep. I dig it.
So,
and if you want one.
Rumor has it they could be ripe for the taking on Friday.
They will be.
They will be there.
They will be Friday and at Nick's appearance on Saturday.
What?
Where's his appearance?
So walk us through what we got promotionally coming up.
So, like you said, Friday, we're gone all day, 7 to 7. Y'all are at Nick's place. The bench is at our bar. Mm-hmm. Saturday, Nick will be at Twin Peaks.
Nick? No, the bench or the Blitz is at our bar.
No, the Blitz is at our bar.
Yeah, the Blitz on Friday.
I believe it's Cypress.
Oh, I'm sorry. Blitz. Yes. Friday. Okay. Blitz.
Let's start over. So everybody but the Blitz is going to be at Nick's place on Friday.
And the Blitz
is going to be at our bar in the Washington Avenue area.
Okay.
Yes, it is. Sawyer Heights. That's what it's technically called.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yes.
Off of Houston Avenue.
Yes. And then
Saturday, Nicholas Sharara is going to be at Twin Peaks.
Sunday.
Oh, my God.
Nick, you're at there Sunday?
This is a disaster.
Okay, Nick on Sunday is at Twin Peaks
290
from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m.
Okay,
first of all, you said it was in my neck of the woods.
Yeah.
290 is not even close to where I live.
I thought you live relatively close to Cypress.
You think I live everywhere. You say I live in Cut and Shoot, and I'm in Dallas.
Cut
and
Shoot,
Conroe.
Cypress, same
now
thing.
Now I'm off 290.
Coons.
Anything north of I-10, Nick thinks
it's
I live
so
there.
Far.
It's just
it's
like
just
wherever,
so far.
Anything north of I-10, Barry lives there.
Yeah.
North Dakota, that's where Barry lives.
Where are you from?
Me? I'm from Willis.
And Willis is close to Koontz?
No, Willis is close to Conroe. It's in between Conroe and
Oh, that's by Cut and Shoot for sure.
It's by cut and shoot,
it is. Definitely.
You've been to Cut and Shoot?
I have, yeah.
And you survived? Everything's cool?
Yes.
Cool.
Moving on.
So let's try this again.
You were going to take it down there. I wasn't going to do that.
I was going to go there.
I didn't think this was going to last the whole segment. Now it is. So Friday, everybody from 7 until 4 is going to be at Nick's place.
At Nick's place, yes.
God, the Blitz from 4 to 7 is going to be at
our bar
in Washington Avenue, Heights area.
Yes.
Okay. Then Sunday, 6:30 p.m., Nick Sharara at the Twin Peaks in
290
location.
Which is right where Barry lives.
Close to Barry's neck of the
woods. 2 minutes away from where Barry lives.
Oh, my God.
What do we got next week?
So next week, Thursday, we are at the grand opening of Prime Social from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. Friday, we are back at Prime Social to kick off every Friday live broadcasts from Prime Social. So every Friday from next week until the end of the year, mm-hmm. we will be at Prime Social from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m.
That ain't us.
And then on Saturday, Jason Braddock will be at Twin Peaks Kirkwood
from
2:30 p.m. to 4:30
That's September the 7th?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And is that what we got?
That's what we got. Yeah.
Okay. Good deal. So lots of stuff. And again, if you want that Usual Suspects t-shirt, they're going to be available at Nick's place on Friday, not until we get there.
People want to know, are there any 3XLs?
Yes, there are.
Ah, look at you coming through in the clutch again.
A select. There's not like a ton. Like we do larges and extra larges.
But get your big ass there early.
Yep.
Mark Show.
Either Clarence.
Oh, you already got him.
No, but I think he said a 4X.
Yeah. No, Clarence is not a 4X.
Clarence or Mark Shell? One of them told me they're a 4X. I'm telling you.
Mark Shell, I got him a shirt at the listener party.
You got pulled.
And it was a, it was a 2XL. That's,
okay.
And I told him.
So he's wearing it like Under Armour. Right?
Yeah. Okay. It was like a half shirt, almost.
It was a training bra.
It's a sports bra shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there will be. So the big ass guys got to get there early if they want a shirt, if they want a 3XL, because there's not many, correct?
Correct. There's not many 3Xs. Lots of XLs and 2Xs and larges.
Okay. Do you? Well, so Nick, when you get there, just grab you a 3X.
Yeah, I'm
so
gonna be there first.
Yeah, so you
no
don't
one's
have
taking
to,
my size.
Okay.
I think Nick said he's gonna wear it like a dress on Sunday night.
Is he?
When he shows up at his appearance.
And I have some smalls
that
and mediums.
Some leggings.
Oh, you have a medium for me? Cool, thanks.
Or for the girls, for the women suspects.
You don't think I'm a medium?
You could go small even, Barry.
Ah, you stop it.
Excuse me one
I wish
second.
I could see Joel. Joel hates it that we get along. He really does.
Okay, I'm back. Wow.
You okay?
I'm going to be, but oh my goodness.
So what else do we have planned for the year? Is there anything that we should be putting on our radar now?
Lots of peaks,
so
right?
So we're at Twin Peaks a ton, okay. And every Texans home game, we are at a different Brewings. Moneyline is doing a broadcast there from 10 to noon.
Cool.
Josh and Jerry Bo.
Yes, yeah. So they're out. We're at Twin Peaks a ton. We've got something probably at least twice a week.
That's fantastic.
That's great.
I know.
Look at you, all
heads
busy.
Up, by the way, the Crystal Collins Express is going to be flying in at 11 a.m. Friday. She said she's off the rest of the day. Barry, it says hashtag give me my shirt. And the next hashtag says, and give Barry shots.
Nope, she can get the shirt. In fact, I'm only going to give her a shirt if she promises not to buy any shots.
Oh, they're coming, buddy.
No, well, I'm not drinking them.
I'll
I'm not doing that again.
I'll give her the shirt as long as she gives you the shots.
I don't have to drink them too, right? I mean, that's at the end of it all.
Really?
Now I'm not turning down Crown. I'll definitely drink it if she bought it. I just don't want to. I don't want to feel that peer pressure.
Looks like.
Are you going to be there Friday, Courtney? Are you going to come hang out?
I have my bachelorette party this weekend.
Your bachelorette party.
So you're bringing the chicks to
Nick. I wish I would have known this sooner because that's a whole segment.
I know.
You're bringing the chicks to
Nick. How many strippers are there going to be?
Oh, as many as possible.
What? Yeah, you're sticking around. Yeah, this is. I got to know this. I got to know what goes on at a female bachelorette party.
Okay.
Are you going to have a penis straw that you use in all your drinks?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hope so. That's my maid of honor's job. God. She better be listening to this.
Flares are up with memos out to Courtney's bachelorette party and wedding party. All right, hour number two in the books. Hour number three, God knows where this is going. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.